Hey y'all, this is Rich Collins of Renaissance Publishing. Welcome to Mardi Gras Beyond the Beads, a series of conversations with Mardi Gras historian Errol Laborde about the history and traditions of Carnival, the greatest free show on earth.
Hello everyone and welcome to Beyond the Beads. This is Rich Collins and this is the 34th episode in total of this series. And this is the final episode of the fifth season. And the way this works is I ask one question and then Carnival expert and historian Errol Laborde fills up the rest of the time. So Errol Laborde, how are you feeling?
I thought you were going to say this is the 34th year, okay, in which case I was going to really freak out, okay, yeah.
It's about to be my 34th year in New Orleans.
Yeah, well,
it's the 33rd year, yeah, so yeah. I'm having an anniversary. But, okay, so this one, we wanted to talk about the original meeting of the courts and how that evolved and where it's gone today.
Okay, it started in 1882. And remember that year because it's important in the story. Okay, at the time, the two major parading and social organizations were the Crew of Comus, which started in 1857. They were the first ones to create the lasting Mardi Gras tradition.
Right.
And then the Rex organization, which started in 1872. And each of them would have their own carnival ball, society balls at the time, on Mardi Gras night. Rex most often had a thing called the Washington Artillery Hall. The building doesn't exist anymore, or not as a hall. If you know where Gallia Hall is, it would be about like two blocks down towards the what used to be called Lee Circle, okay, in that area. And then Comus would have his ball in the French Opera House, which was in the French Quarter, a wonderful building. And there's still people today who mourn that the French Opera House was destroyed by fire in 1919. A writer at the time, Lyle Saxton, says New Orleans lost its soul last night. All right, and so that was a big loss. But anyway, for a while it was a very important building. So Mardi Gras night, they're having their respective carnival balls, and I guess some people were invited to two, and they went back and forth. But in 1882, somebody had the idea: why don't we have the crews meet? Have some kind of ceremony where they get together, and apparently people bought into it. And so the idea was is that at a given hour, and the Rex crew, which would be his king and queen and maids, would get into a carriage, and they go down to the French Opera House. Now, supposedly those balls were really packed. I mean, it was a big thing. I mean, to be invited to a carnival ball back then, and so at the appointed hour they did, and they got a police escort. Now, it was pretty easy for Rex to get a police escort or anything he wanted because Rex was also the mayor. Okay. Rex is a guy named Joseph Shakespeare, spelled like the board without the E. And so he presided. And so, you need a police escort, Mayor? Yeah, sure. Okay. So anything he wanted to close the streets to be able to get down the way. So he's probably the only guy that could have really made it happen that year. So at the appointed hour, then, Rex and his entourage, they went over to the French Opera House, and then there was this ceremony that came in where they came in and they played the music and if ever I cease to love, and then they did the marching around. There's not much description of what went on, but I imagine it's pretty much what goes on today.
Yeah.
That they each have like a grand march.
I have a random question. You know, you think about these wealthy clubs that basically created Carnival back in the day, and then there's the Rex side and there's the Comus group. Was there a cultural distinction between these two? Was there like, a Rex organization person is this, this, and this, and a Comus person is totally different? They're this other type.
I think a lot of people belong to both.
It's the same.
Because it was like the same kind of crowd. But probably within that, to the Comus people, there were some Rex people who were like, I'm just guessing, okay?
Yeah.
Second class.
Comus is even more.
Yeah, they're not of this
elite.
They're not of this level that belongs to both, okay?
I see.
But there are some who belong to both. I'd imagine Mayor Shakespeare, for example, belonged to both. But they got along, all right?
Because in a sense, Comus is the more elite in some way.
Comus started in 1857.
Got it.
And when it started, when Rex started, the stories are, I think they got a lot of help from the Comus people because they were the they knew how to build parades. They knew how to do floats.
Right.
And so I think a lot of those members crossed over, and probably to this day that's still the same thing. So, no, there's no real elitism against it. So So they do the thing, and they have the parades. The two great pieces of music of the balls, and I can't guarantee you that they'll both play at the first ball, but of course there's the march version of Ever I Cease to Love, which is the anthem. And the other is the Grand March from Aida, which is just a wonderful, wonderful piece of music. And for 2 or 3 days after every Mardi Gras, I got this humming in my head, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But it's a great march, and then they meet, and they wave to each other, and they you know, and they make gestures, and they leave. But apparently it means a lot to a lot of people that they do that. One reason, you know, I never saw the exact reason why they started, but one reason, I was kind of looking at the years. Okay, so Rex started in 1872. So 1882 would have been the 10th anniversary of Rex. So I could see the Rex people and Mary Shea, hey, you know, this is our anniversary. We should do something special. Mm-hmm. Well, at the same time, Coma started in 1857, and that would have been like the 25th anniversary. So here you are, you had this magic moment, okay? And I can see these guys having Pim's Cup at the St. Charles Hotel, saying, you know, Rex is going to have his 10th anniversary this year. Comus is 25th anniversary. Why don't we do something special?
Right.
So I would guess that that was the impetus for doing it.
Smart.
And they may have intended it to be a one-time thing, mm-hmm. You know, just do it. But sometimes they get so popular that that's what would happen. So it's the formal thing that happens. It's been part of the ball all the time. Around the 1960s, I guess, it started being on televised on WDSU Channel 6. Not the entire ball for both, but the meeting of the courts, okay? The time. And part of the protocol is that Rex always goes to Comus, not the other way around.
Okay.
Because Comus is seen as representing society, and Rex is representing people in the carnival. And,
gotcha.
And essentially, in this ceremony, the people bow to society. But, you always go, but he's also the elder, all right? And so it's like just being polite to go to the elder. And so they always go to Comus's ball. And so I think that's probably the reason that they did it. And they could, but anyway, when they started the television coverage of it, it would be every year on Channel 6. And I think it came on at 11:30 or something. It was later in the night than it is now. And they broadcast. But it was just that half hour right there. And it was tightly scripted. They had these two announcers, a woman and a guy. And like everything on the queen's dress, you know, they have a close-up. This is where I learned the word bugle beads from, because okay. Every year they'd be talking, oh, the queen's bodice is made of bugle beads,
okay.
You know, and all of this. And so there's a lot of that.
This moment is when I learned the word bugle beads. I didn't know that word.
Yeah, okay, well, we strive to educate, all right?
Right, thank you. But so, in other words, that would there have been any resistance to televising it? This sort of seems like this kind of special and maybe sacred moment. I wonder if there was any, like some people said, yeah, we should put it on TV, and others have said, no, absolutely, we shouldn't.
Yeah, well, they did, okay?
And, the other folks won.
but I think it was good. I think it was good for keeping that tradition alive. And it's really important in the 1990s, you know, after the fallout from the carnival went through a bad period in the 1990s, a lot of the tension from the Dorothy Taylor ordinance, all that was resolved. Some crews had backed out, some were kind of afraid to come back, and they want to know. And so anyway, this effort was made to do a broadcast again, but not just the ball, or not just the meeting of the courts, but the whole ball. I mean, the Rex ball, and then going over to the Comus side. And I'm glad to say this is on Channel 12, WYS. And so it features the Rex ball in addition to the meeting of courts. My favorite thing is the Marine Band, which is really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you, it's really highly rated. It's got a... I think it might be on average year the largest watched show on WYS.
And you, how long have you had a role in this?
Since the beginning. If this was a football game, I'd be the equivalent of like the color guy.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, you're the color. You're the okay. You're not the play by play
guy. And there's another color guy too, whose name is Casey Bill. Oh yeah, Will. Will French. Okay.
Right.
And he's old family Rex. I mean his. His grandfather was the captain, so I'm not that kind of an insider, but he knows stuff. And so I think between the two of us, we do okay. There's a lot of, and I know a lot of people make fun of this kind of thing, you know. It's like, oh, I just like people, they're dressed up in tights and they're walking around. I mean, this is all silly. I mean, it's inevitable. People always make fun of it. But people watch it. And I think it's just, you couldn't do it every night, but I think one night a year when you hear that music, when you hear the Grand March, and when you see the elegance, and you see the women all in their evening dresses and their long white gloves. I think it's a magic moment when you see the...
It's also so special that it's just here, it's just us. It's something that if you live anywhere else, you wouldn't understand this at all. It's our version of like Charles and Diana's wedding or whatever. It's this New Orleans thing.
And when you see the pageant on the floor, and one of my favorite shots is in the background, the women with their beautiful dresses and in their long white gloves, and they're all clapping again. One night a year. And some people say, these people are really pretentious. You know, they're not. I know these people. I mean, they know they're not really kings and queens.
Right.
I mean, one of the favorite lines that you get from past Rexes is like, well, you know, the next morning I was filling out the garbage again, you know. And so it's this one night of being special. I mean, you're like graduating from high school. And so I don't begrudge people doing that. So, but what that broadcast has done, because they show the Rex thing, and then they... And when they started the broadcast, it was in the municipal auditorium. And so the Comus wall was on the other side of the municipal auditorium, and the Rex wall was one side. But then when they started changing things and all that, Comus moved to the Marriott, which is across the street from the Sheraton. And so now that created all kind of logistic problems. You really have to have two TV broadcast setups.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And what they do is they put a red carpet in the middle, and so Rex and all that go. Okay. It's a beautiful tradition. I'm personally afraid it might be endangered because now people are starting to do... There's some people from the streets, okay, who are starting to yell things and that kind of stuff is going on, so it's kind of taking a little bit out of the joy of it all that. But it was nice, so okay, it might survive. And then they take them over, and on the Comus side, what people have never seen is one, Comus, I mean, because the only time he thought Comus was on his parade, and he's always masked. And the side of this mask, Comus, is, you know, this fantastic helmet with the three plumes and all that. I mean, to me, that's classic Mardi Gras. And then when the dances come, a lot of the crew members are wear these heads. It's like a ram's head or a bull's head,
right,
that kind of stuff, okay? And the snark crowd on the internet goes crazy over this, but why don't you let people enjoy things, okay? And it's a fun thing to watch. The legend is, I don't know if it's true or not, that usually the ones who wear the heads are the younger members because they got the more dexterity or
right, they can hold it up still.
Hold up with it. And but were it not for that ball, Comus, which is so much a part of the Mardi Gras tradition, because again, being the first parade, I mean, it established the word crew, it established the. A lot of the traditions of carnival. I mean, it really set the template for carnival. But Comus stopped parading in 1992, and all it does is have its ball. So people, there'd be a whole generation that would never see Comus and know anything about Comus. And so I'm glad.
This is really the only way to see it.
It's the only way, yeah.
Yeah. You make an interesting point. You're talking about the maybe negativity about this. And one thing is that, you know, social media now over this century has probably changed the perceptions of a lot of these old traditions and might actually, like you say, even change things the way they go forward.
Yeah, well, there's a snark crowd out there, okay? I guess in their life they're having fun, okay? And I should say, the more the better, but I got to tell you, it sort of annoys me because...
Right.
Only because I know the work, including my wife, that goes on to put this thing on, okay? And her carnival season is pretty much... absorbed with planning that and all of that, you know, and to see all the work that goes on, you know, and to see one person, look at these people in tights, which, you know, which people have been saying for years.
Right.
So, I mean, you know.
Of course, it's impossible to literally do anything anymore and not have someone say something sarcastic on the internet about it.
Oh, yeah.
It could be anything at this point.
Yeah.
But, okay, so that's where we are now, and that it is wild to think that they have to do this thing across the street from each other. Logistically.
Yeah, that's never happened because all those years they were in the auditorium, they weren't down the hall from each other. And so that was really an innovation. And then right before midnight, I guess it's around 11:30, is when you have the actual meeting, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When Rex and his queen and approach Comus and his queen and they bow to each other. And then they have this moment where they go against this curtain. And they wave, and then the curtain closes. We always say, well, this is the end of the carnival season right here. they then go downstairs, which is the advantage of being in the hotel, because they got these big buffets waiting for them downstairs. There was a tradition for many years that a lot of the girls in the court after the ball would go to another royal place, Tipitina's. Okay, and I don't know if they're still do that. The crews encourage us not to mention that. Right? But anyway, but it's
so that's interesting. People know about that moment when the police sweep Bourbon Street at midnight. But there's two things that sort of draw Mardi Gras to a close. One is the clearing of Bourbon Street, and the other is this official final act where they close the curtain.
Yeah, and that's a whole different world. Okay, but I've been there too. Okay, when they clear the streets and they got these people on horses and going down, and they got these people with these loudspeakers. Mardi Gras is over. It's time for Mardi Gras. Because all day, I mean, if you're a person without much of an itinerary, you can just sit in one spot all day and not move, right? And so it seems like, well, this is where I want to spend the rest of my life, right? But all of a sudden, the message comes home. It's time to move, okay?
Yeah.
You can stay in the quarter, but you got to be moving, all right?
Yeah.
And amazingly, it works fairly well. I mean, there's a few rounds to it. This year, there's going to be a new police chief. And usually, the police chief rides in that, all right? And so this will be an experience, but I'm told she really likes horses.
Oh, great.
Okay, and so she did this, and plus she's had a little carnival experience in Memphis.
Okay.
So she knows a little bit what she's seeing, so, I think they'll do that.
And everyone has to go home, get some rest, a few hours of sleep, so they can go get their ashes the next morning.
I guess. but I just like it, I don't know, because it kind of keeps the traditions alive.
Right.
Right. And, some of the people come in, and the captain of Rex and the president of Zulu are good friends, and they work closely together on the mayor's Mardi Gras committee, and so he's always there. We always talk to him. Last year they had the king and queen of Zulu, who were a hoot. Okay, it was this couple, and in Zulu the king gets to pick his queen, and if he's married, he damn well better pick his wife, okay? which he did in this case.
Smart man.
And they had fun. I mean, they were saying that their day started at 2 o'clock in the morning. So it goes only at 2 o'clock in the morning, makeup, okay?
Oh, my gosh. Right?
They're doing a lot of makeup. But I think it gives people a slice. I've been having my own little campaign, and that is when you have the meeting of the courts approaching each other, that everybody at home get a bottle of champagne and a moon pie. Okay, and so my campaign is that the official treat for the meeting of the courts should be champagne and moon pie.
I love it.
And I mentioned several years. For some reason, last year, I forgot to mention it. I just forgot.
Okay, well, this is the official mention right now.
Well, quickly, I got a message, okay, the next day. You didn't mention champagne and moon pie, all right? I'm wondering if I should amend it also to be a Hubig's pie, all right? Because, there was all those years that Hubig's was out, and Hubig's was made in New Orleans, so maybe I should make a champagne and Hubig's pie.
Actually, that sounds really good. Some good dry champagne and a coconut Hubig's pie sounds great.
Yeah.
Like right now.
Yeah.
I want that. So wait, so that's the courts, but do we want to talk just briefly about another meeting of two other pieces of carnival royalty?
This is at Lundi Gras. Lundi Gras started in the idea, for many years, Rex had a tradition on the day before Mardi Gras, which was known back then as the day before Mardi Gras. Okay, they didn't call it Lundi Gras. Okay, and then of having Rex arrive by boat, and he'd arrive like at the foot of the canal, then there'd be this entourage, put him in the carriage, and they'd take him down to the ball site. In 1972, it was recreated one time because it was Rex's centennial, so they did that same kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it was in the 1987, that the idea came, let's try to bring this back and make an annual thing. By this time, the riverfront had been a little bit more developed. The Rouse Corporation, which developed Riverwalk, there have been several owners since then, but the Rouse, and Rouse had a real sense of urban festivity and activity, and so you talk to them. And they were willing to stage an arrival. They have a stage out in Spanish Plaza to pay part of the bill, which was new, we'll get Rex to arrive, we have all these proclamations, and then we'll have fireworks. Until 1987, there had never been fireworks in Mardi Gras.
Wow.
I mean, wouldn't you think that'd be a natural?
Right.
I mean, all the time and all that. And so they started doing that. And then a couple of years later, Zulu says, well, you know, we want to get in, you know, on this too. And so while Rex met at Riverwalk, they talked to the people at the aquarium. And of course, this is Ron Foreman. Ron Foreman knows a good thing to do when it's, we'll sponsor this, okay. And so Zulu arrives, and then the Rex captain, that really helped though, because Rex arrives on the Coast Guard cutter, because Rex never wanted to be on a commercial vehicle. He wanted to be on, okay. And the Rex captain helped Zulu get a Coast Guard cutter too. And they really helped with logistics. And so that was, you know, a good arrangement. And then one year, this guy named Myron Moorhead was the king of Zulu. And he went all out. He was a doctor. And man, this was his life. He arranged all kinds of events, all kinds of parties. He arranged an arrival at Kenner, okay, in the Kenner Landing. But then he had the idea, well, why don't we go and see Rex, too, and arrive in Rex. So this was brought to the Rex people, and I was asked before the discussion, well, the issue never was, should we do this? The issue was always, logistically, how can we make this work? I mean, you know, how can we move Zulu from down there with security and crowd control and all of that? But they made it work. And so, but that first time, and this is the cover story of the book, okay, about the first time when Rex met Zulu, people had known that this was going to happen because it was getting a ton of publicity. It was getting national publicity when the word came out. Editorials, I mean, everybody loved the idea, right? And so it was no secret it was going to happen, but still we made like it was a secret. And so there was the Rex people were on the stage, and we kept on saying things like, ladies and gentlemen, we just got an announcement that Rex is about to receive a special visitor. We kind of teased it a little bit, all right? And then finally that moment came when we said, oh, the special visitor is here, Zulu. And that was such a magic moment, man. The crowd just melted. I mean, they were just so thrilled.
That's right? Great.
Because even a lot of people who want to see Zulu don't really get to see him on Mardi Gras day during the parade because he marches a little bit earlier, and it's kind of hard to catch him. So if you want, but here you can see him. I mean, if you you were there, and they had his beautiful African motif costumes. They get together, and they exchange proclamations, and the mayor, that was Mayor Bartholomew, they all exchanged proclamations, and they and then they had this plunger, and they counted down 10 to 0, and they put it in a plunger, the fireworks went off.
That's great.
Of course, the connection between the plunger and the fireworks wasn't exact, but it was like a beautiful sight along the river and then the music. And then you got Zulu and Rex and the mayor all boogieing with each other on the stage. I said, man, what a great moment. And so you knew this was a moment you couldn't do away with, and so it's been a part of an annual tradition. In a very special moment.
That's great. And now you mentioned a book, but can you give a more explicit and mention of your new book?
Yeah, well, I have a book. It's called When Rex Met Zulu and Other Chronicles of the New Orleans Experience. It has some stuff about Mardi Gras, including that. But there's other things, too. There's all kinds of things about food and travel and everything else. And a lot of them are based on columns and New Orleans Magazine and other things I've written. I've done two books like this when I was at Gambit, and they did okay. But this is going to be the big one, okay?
Where can you get it?
In all bookstores. It's online, Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble. Kelly, the company store, how do you
access it? MyNewOrleans.com/shop.
Okay. Yeah, the shopping page on the company thing. So MyNewOrleans.com/shop.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, Air Labor, thank you so much. That was wonderful words of wisdom, and that wraps up the fifth season.
Okay. Thank you. So next year would be the sixth. Is that correct?
That's right. Okay. If my math is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Be safe out there.
As always, if anybody has any questions or comments, just send me an email, Errol@MyNewOrleans.com. And for the subject line, put Mardi Gras Podcast. So I'll know not to delete you.